Welcome. It's Sunday, November 29th, 2020. This is the first Sunday of Advent, and our theme for this Advent season is Love Came Down at Christmas. Our message this week is from Mark 13, and I invite you to read the entire chapter, but due to time limitations, I would like you to read with me these final verses in Mark 13, verses 24 through 37. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. For this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A couple of pastors from local churches who had just attended a communication seminar were standing by the side of the road holding up signs. Well, the Baptist pastor's sign read, "The end is near." Well, the Presbyterian pastor on the other side of the road, he held up a sign which read, "Turn before it's too late." They planned to hold up their signs to each passing car. "Get a job," the first driver yelled at them when he saw the sign. Well, the second driver immediately behind the first yelled, "Leave us alone, you religious freaks." Well, shortly from around the curve, the two clergy heard screeching tires and a splash, followed by more screeching tires and another splash. Well, the Baptist pastor, he looked over to the other and said, "Do you think we should try a different sign?" Well, the Presbyterian pastor, he responded thoughtfully, "Perhaps our sign ought to just say simply, 'Bridge out.'" We laugh at this, the first Sunday of Advent. We light the candle of hope. I would encourage you again to read the entire chapter of Mark, because I don't want you to be like the drivers I told you about in my opening story. Like Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be misled." Or in 15:34, where he writes, "For there are some who are ignorant of God." In my preparation this week, I found one commentary writer who described this chapter by writing, "Mark 13 warns readers against attempts at constructing timetables and deciphering signs of the second coming. Disciples are advised to be alert and watchful, for neither they nor even Jesus knows the time of the end. Disciples are not to be led astray by even the most obvious signs, for the end is not yet. Discipleship is not fulfilled by predicting future events, but by faithfulness in the presence, especially in trials, adversity, and suffering." So in other words, the 13th chapter of Mark is not given to promote discussions on prophetic timetables, but to give us hope and stimulate right living for God in a world where he is largely ignored. We are to watch. Our message this week, I've titled Standing Watch. Well, Jesus tells his disciples and us how to live as we are standing watch, how to have hope while we wait on his return. But here's a quick synopsis. Do not be alarmed. We are not to be misled by confusing claims or speculative interpretations of what will happen. We find this in 13:5-6. Or be on your guard. We should not be afraid to tell people about Christ, despite what they say or do to us. 13:9-11. Or stand firm. We must not be surprised by persecution. We find in 13:13. Or we have hope in 13:26-27. Where it says, men will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. He will send his angels and gather his elect. Also, we must be alert. We must be waiting on his return. And 13:28-34 writes, and watch, we must be watching for his return. At the end, he tells us in 13:35-37. So today, I thought first we need to know what it means to hope, to wait on, and to watch. So according to Webster's Dictionary, here are their definitions. Hope is a desire of some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that is obtainable. And second definition was confidence in the future event. So what is the hope that we should have? Well, according to the Bible, the prophet Joel writes, the Lord will be the hope of his people. In Joel 3:16. The definition of to wait on, according to Webster, is to remain stationary in readiness or expectation. To pause for another to catch up or to look forward expectantly, to hold back expectantly, to serve, or to be ready and available. But Jesus, he defines to wait on is to be alert. We must be waiting on his return. Watch, according to Webster, is to observe over a time period. Attendance without sleep, attention, close observation, to guard, vigilance for keeping or protecting against danger. But Jesus' final instructions was in Mark, was watch. Keep watch, Jesus tells his disciples in 13:35. Standing watch. You know, that is not an easy task. I know this because when I joined the Navy, they sent me to boot camp, and there I spent 9 weeks learning how to stand watch. So I thought I should share with you what I've learned, and here are some of the rules to standing watch that a sailor learns. Rule number one, get rest. You know, for day watches, you take a short 20-minute nap within an hour of your watch, and this will keep you alert for several hours. If you have a late-night watch that extends to the early morning hours, hit the bed early to be well rested for the watch. Well, they didn't promote this often while I was in boot camp, so as recruits, we trained our bodies and our minds how to take advantage of the times when we could sleep. Well, seeing that deer season was here, I will use this example. I hope you better relate to this. Four guys were at a deer camp, and no one wanted to room with Rocky because he snored so badly. They decided it wasn't fair to make one of them stay with him the whole time, so they voted to take turns. Well, the first guy, he slept with Rocky and comes to breakfast the next morning with his hair a mess and his eyes all bloodshot, said, man, what happened to you? He said, Rocky snored so loudly I just sat up and watched him all night. Well, the next night, it was a different guy's turn. In the morning, the same thing, hair all standing up, eyes all bloodshot, and they said, man, what happened to you? You look awful. He said, man, that Rocky, he shakes the roof with his snoring, and I watched him all night. Well, the third night was Fred's turn. See, Fred was a tanned kind of older cowboy, a man's man. The next morning, he came to breakfast, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. "Good morning," he said. And they couldn't believe it. They said, "Man, what happened?" "Well," he said, "well, we got ready for bed. I went and tucked Rocky into bed, patted him on the butt, and kissed him goodnight. Rocky sat up, and he watched me all night." So we laughed at the story, but you get the point. It's not easy to get rest when so many things are happening around us in our world today. Well, the second rule is to wear the right gear. You know, there's a saying that I heard one time that goes like this. It says, "There's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothes." Indeed, I believe that hits it right on the head. Prepare yourself for weather in the future so that you are ready if and when that weather arrives aboard the boat. A few environments are as dynamic as the sea, even in midsummer. A nighttime ocean watch can become quite cool, or a squall can bring high winds and buckets of rain. Keep your fall weather gear close at hand and stay dry and comfortable. Well, in boot camp, we spent a lot of time learning how to care for our clothes, how to fold and stow so that they were in good condition and proper place. At the ready in case of bad weather, with daily inspections and consequences if they were not in order, bad weather is always a constant danger aboard ship. So having the right gear to wear was of the utmost importance. So Paul tells us to wear the right gear. In Ephesians 6:11, he writes, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Paul definitely knew what to wear while standing watch. The third rule I want to share with you is follow the skipper's SOP. Well, most skippers have a standard operating procedure that tell you when to keep the log, once an hour or once per watch, when to wake him or and safety procedures on watch. Alert the skipper if you are in doubt or have a question that affects the safety of the crew. Well, Jesus left us with the SOPs, his standard operating procedures. And we find them in his word, the Bible. In our reading this morning, he reminds his disciples of the story of a man who leaves his servants in charge in 1334, each with his assigned task. To follow his SOPs, in other words, to do the Lord's will. This reminds me of a story of a pastor who was out sitting on his porch and thinking about the unpredictability of life. At any moment, one's life could change. And so, one should live every moment looking to God. So as the preacher sat there, his neighbor passed by leading his horse. The preacher called out, "What are you doing with your horse?" Well, the man answered, "I'm going into town to sell it." And the pastor said, "You ought to say that you're going to sell it if it be the Lord's will." Well, the man said, "What does this have to do with the Lord's will? This is a good and a healthy horse, and it'll be sold before you know it." Well, the pastor said, "Have you forgotten that God is watching you? You need to put everything in God's hands in order for it to work out. You should say, if it be the Lord's will." Well, the man said, "This is my horse, and I've raised it specifically to be sold. I've even gotten a buyer for it. The Lord's will won't change anything." Well, later that day, the neighbor passed by the preacher's house again. He was covered in dirt. His clothes were ripped to pieces, and he was sore from one end to the other. Well, the astonished pastor asked him what had happened. The man said, "Well, I talked to you for so long that I was late for my appointment with the buyer. And to get there in time, I took a shortcut across the cornfield owned by a cross old buzzard. Well, he saw me tramping through his field and started shooting at my horse. Well, the horse panicked and fell over on top of me. Then it kicked me in the eye. Trying to get out from under the horse, I tore my clothes all to pieces, and I ran from that old man and his gun and ran smack dab into a barbed wire fence. That's what happened to me. Well, the pastor asked, well, where are you going now? The man answered, well, I'm going home now, if it be the Lord's will. Follow his SOPs. Do the Lord's will. So how do we know his will as we keep watch, as we stand watch? As a sailor, we're taught to scan the horizon. They teach us to use binoculars to scan 360 degrees around the horizon. So on a black night, the horizon can be tough to find. You look just beneath the lowest layer of the stars, scan just above the line of the horizon. And studies have shown that this technique helps you to pick out hard-to-see objects in low-light conditions. So as disciples, we scan the horizon through prayer and meditation on his word. Paul, in his first letter for Timothy, he writes, for everything God created is good, and nothing to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. 1 Timothy 4, verses 4 and 5. Then, like any sailor knows, we need to check the course. It's easy to forget about the course if you're on autopilot. Those silent crew members, you know, they tend to wander sometimes like a sailor with one too many rum punches. Check the compass course every 30 minutes to make sure you stay on a sailing course. But if we are standing watch for Christ, Paul tells us to check our course, to check our compass, to be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. So the last rule to standing watch is pass on your knowledge. So before you go below, to give your relief an easy-to-remember summary, and whether the wind's shifted, and what speed you are making good, and have you sighted any vessels and where they are now, what weather can he or she expect on watch? To keep it simple and clear. As we begin this Advent season, is your hope the Lord? As Joel writes, the Lord will be the hope of his people, in Joel 3:16. Are you standing watch, as Jesus commands? Remember, he's coming. Don't be alarmed. Be on your guard. Stand firm. Have hope. Be alert. Watch for his return. So if we are standing watch, we will see how the love came down at Christmas. Stand and watch. In his service, Pastor Joe.